Chapter 23.
My lord.
Shock marked the face of Garland Serlac as Angron emerged into the corridor. He fell into hurried step beside the hulking Primarch.
I was not told you had awakened. How you succeeded, said Angron.
He glared sidelong at the apothecary.
Finally. I had hoped you would eventually grow tired of failure. How many can you make?
Garland looked back at Khan, prowling behind Angron like a caged animal, and cleared his throat.
Production, implantation, these things were never an impediment to us, sire. Creating the correct prototype was. Now that we have synthesized a model that is stable, that is survivable, we can implant them into the Legion at speed.
How quickly?
Asked Angron impatiently.
Give me a few hours, sire, to implant the stock we have already manufactured,
said Garland, quickly recovering from the shock of Angron's return.
A few hours, and I will give you 1,000 true sons, recast in their father's image at last.
We can still stop this.
Majo moved at speed through the corridors of the Conqueror, flanked by the commanders who still remained in league with him. The call had gone out. 1,000 warriors to step forth and join Khan in having the butcher's nails hammered into their skulls. 1,000 had been requested, and more than half of the legion present above Genna answered, including Majo's own first axe.
Is it true?
Vox Astakos from the Hound's Tooth.
Is Angron awake?
Yes, replied Majo.
Arontes' decision still stung, though he knew it was inevitable. The Legion was flooding into Garland's embrace to be given the implants, as Majo's allies evaporated with each passing moment. If there was any time when he needed his champion, it was now.
I'm gathering whatever force remains to us, said Majo to his standard-bearer. Rally whoever you can trust aboard the Tooth, and be ready to make planetfall when I arrive.
Planetfall?
Angron and Khan are waiting on the embarkation deck,
explained Majo.
Waiting to mass enough with the nails before returning to the surface of Genna.
Whatever they're looking for down there, we have to beat them to it.
What could be down there that is of interest to the Primarch?
Asked Astakos.
If the Genna's technology was the key to recreating the nails, said Majo, as he moved deeper into the heart of the Conqueror, then perhaps it can help us to unmake them. If we can find the means to remove the nails, then Khan and our brothers can be saved. Angron can be saved. And we will finally have the father we have always wanted. But any hope of that is gone if they discover it first.
Well, if you intend to face Angron and 1,000 of our kin with the nails,
said Astakos,
we're going to need something to turn the odds in our favour.
Heavy tread boomed from behind the doorway. Majo and the other World Eaters came to a halt as the chamber door rumbled open.
Just be ready for a fight when I arrive, said Majo, giving a thin smile. I'm bringing someone back with me.
Well then, said Lork, why do we stand here talking?
There is no clear memory of when Angron takes the butcher's nails. He was drugged near to death to drag him from the caves and bring him to the Dark Tower, where the High Riders Technomancers dwelt. From there, the vision is fractured, unclear, and lanced with reddened cobwebs of agony. From then on, every memory is glimpsed as though seen through a veil of blood. He wakes, no longer in the tower, but chained to a wall. Then time shifts, and he is fighting in the arena. Tethys tries to pass what is happening, but he feels Angron's pain as his own, and it paralyzes him. He can only watch the flickering images and mismatched sounds, like a damaged vid feed. Sand scatters, the distant roar of thousands of throats. He hears his name being screamed right before his face, ending with the crash of his fists against a shattering skull. By the time sense returns to Angron, and the butcher's nails leech back enough for Tethys to witness the memory clearly, Angron is alone again. Manacled within his lightless cell. His every limb is bound to the wall with dense, heavy chains. He takes in the air in short, pained breaths, hissed through clenched teeth. And the nails, they send torment stabbing through every cell in his body. And the blood, he is covered in it. Its metallic stink fills his nose, and it is still warm as it drips from his chin. His skull throbs from the butcher's nails. His skin is fever hot as his body tries to heal over them, as if they are any other wound. But it can't. That is when Angron hears it. He hears the guards speaking together, laughing as they count their winnings after Onomaus was butchered in the pit. He hears them say the name of the one who had killed the only father he had ever known and desecrated his remains. That it was he, Angron, who had slain Onomaus. The air is driven from his lungs. An invisible fist has entered his chest, crushing his heart in its grip. Angron sags forward as far as his chains allow, before they snap taut. Onomaus, the wisest of them, the best of them, the one who had spent decades readying the slaves for the uprising, the only one who could rally the gladiators to stand as one and throw off the High Rider's oppression. Gone. By his hand. The howl that rips from Angron's lips shakes the walls. It is so loud that it rouses the entire arena guard to scramble, fearing a slave rebellion. He screams, even after his throat tears and blood bursts from his lips. It continues on for 3 days, a scream of such sadness and pain, nothing like it has ever been heard before or since. Tethys feels Angron's mind close with the scream. It is pushing him out, caught up in the waves of noise and lament, until his consciousness peels loose from the Primarch in a storm of blinding light. The diagnostic cogitators tethered to him came alive, spitting out reams of stamped parchment, reporting the changes coming over him. Alarms triggered, filling the small apothecarium with the sharp song of their klaxons. Servitors jerked to life, drawn out of inactivity by the clamour. They came forward, on wheels or tracks or stiff half-human legs, to see to the warrior who lay prone before them. Tethys's eyes opened. Major ran through the corridors of the Hound's Tooth. The past hours had been a blur as he hurried to organize and lead the brothers loyal to him down to the surface to stop the Primarch, when word reached him. The only news that could divert him from his task. The doors to the tertiary apothecarium opened, and Major rushed in to find Tethys upright and awakened from his unnatural slumber. The Centurion pushed through the medical servitors crowding around the Lexicanum.
"Brother?"
"Take me to Angron," said Tethys, seizing Major by the wrist. "Take me now!"